Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett, and good to be here. I'm hoping that you're having, wherever you are, a good time enjoying whatever's going on in your life. Right now, it looks like summer has decided to arrive early, and in the meantime, doing all sorts of things that keep you maybe stressed out or over-amped. We're going to take a break and give you an opportunity to go a different direction. My guest is the co-author of a new book, a recent book, Living in a Mindful Universe, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Heart of Consciousness. Co-author is Karen Newell. And she's also the collaborator, co-author, originator of a program that is a really fascinating brain entrainment innovator is what her title goes into. But it's Sacred Acoustics. And if you have heard anything like this before, you'll appreciate the way this works. It's a way of kind of reclaiming your mind, your autopilot, your consciousness. And I really am a fan of this kind of software and the kind of music. So Karen, thank you. I'm looking forward to finding out more about all of the things that you are doing at this moment.
Oh, well, thank you, Wendy. Thank you for inviting me to the program.
What I wanted to go, for anybody who isn't familiar with you, can we go back and how did you get started? Because I know the collaborator you're working with or that you work with also, I believe, was a near-death experiencer.
Yes. But to get into this, I have to go kind of way back to when I was a child, because this is just not a typical thing that someone might plan to be when they grow up. How that all worked was, as a child, I was learning lots of things in school and in the Methodist church that I went to, and a lot of it didn't ring true to me, stuff about our ancient past, stuff about religious dogma, what God was. I remember going to a church camp, a Methodist church camp, when I was a child, and I grew up in Oregon, so I had the beautiful, really, privilege of going to church camp on the unspoiled, beautiful Oregon coast, where the ocean comes right up.
Yes.
You know, it's unlike any other beach you'll see anywhere because it's so unspoiled. And this is where I would spend my time with a bunch of, ministers and other kids learning about God. And they would tell us, you know, go out into the woods and commune with God. And I would imagine I would be out there waiting for some being on a cloud to come down or a ray of sun, you know, to land on my face and have some miracle happen. And none of this happened at all. And so I just didn't take that literal meaning of God very seriously. And I thought it was just really a bunch of nonsense. And so when I would commune out in the woods with God, what I would do is commune with the trees and the ferns and the sand and the driftwood and the wind and the clouds. And I thought this was so much fun. And I remember once saying to one of the ministers, you know, I don't think I believe in God. And he said, well, that's okay. It's not for everyone. And I felt such relief. And so I could be there and learn how to be a good person, how to be with other children. Really, the fellowship is what I enjoyed, but not the dogma. And the same thing in school. I learned in secular school, for example, we learn about those great pyramids in Giza, how they were built as tombs for pharaohs by slaves over a couple of decades. But at the same time, they tell you that the technology feats of those pyramids were so great, we can't duplicate it today. That stuck in my mind. And so this was just a big mystery to me, which very much authority people would tell us about our ancient history when obviously they didn't really know all of these facts. And so this drove me, right? This drove me to find out the truth. And of course, then I read things like Plato's Atlantis, which in school we learn is a myth, not true. Well, when I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, here's some actual record of an ancient civilization that might have had technology that could have built the pyramids. To me, that was child logic. It just made sense. And so as I got older and kind of just rejected all of these sort of things, I called it my truth meter. I think every child has one. And we kind of know what's true as children. And then as we get older and adults straighten us out, I don't know that it always is serving us to really reach the truth, but I searched for truth, and as I did that, as I got older, I found it was kind of hard to find things back then. You know, we had card catalogs in libraries. We didn't have the internet, and so whatever was at your local library is what was available. But in the early 90s, I was an adult by then, and I came across a book by Graham Hancock called Fingerprints of the Gods, and he finally, was taking all of the evidence of all of these sacred sites around the world, ancient maps that had been found, myths, lots of mythology, and he started looking at it in a new light. And I finally realized, oh my gosh, we can find truth. We just need to step out of our dogma, the things that we think have to be true before we can explore anything else. And in the process of exploring all of these different alternative texts, things like theosophical texts, anthroposophy, things like Vedic texts, I started realizing that there was a whole other part of our world that we weren't taught in mainstream types of schools. And this is what started to fascinate me. And of course, I had a regular job. I worked in the publishing industry doing technology like desktop publishing, eventually website development, strategic planning, network management, things like that. But on the side, I was very interested in exploring these kind of alternative ways of looking at our world. And I realized rather quickly that you are taught when you do this reading that all of us as humans have these abilities, whether it's telepathy or, you know, deep meditation and communication with other realms, that we all can do this. And so I got tired of reading about it, and I wanted to start doing some of these things, really just to prove to myself that it was true, things like telepathy. And so I started taking all kinds of classes. I took Reiki classes, feng shui. I learned how to sense energy. I took classes in remote viewing, how crystals work, animal communication, plant communication, healing touch for animals, all kinds of different classes to learn about energy. And pretty much all of them at some point tell you, well, we're going to have a meditation. And they ask you to close your eyes and do a meditation. And I didn't know how to do this. This was very challenging for me with my job. As a project manager, strategic planner, I was constantly making lists, planning. I was quite accomplished at doing, you know, very large projects. And so this was always on my mind. And so when I would try to sit and meditate, it just didn't work. My mind would be racing. And I actually told myself, well, I'm just one of those people who can't meditate. I just guess it's not going to work for me. And yet it kept coming up as something that would be so useful, really, to explore anything in this realm, some kind of meditation. And it was sound. Sound is what helped me to settle the mind. And at first, it was things like tuning forks or brass bowls, crystal bowls, gongs, things that had that kind of monotonous sort of drone type sound. And it was brainwave entrainment technology specifically, something that also is called binaural beats that I started to explore. And that's when I finally could start to quiet my mind and get somewhere with this thing called meditation.
And that is crucial. I know a lot of people struggle, because I've heard them talk about it, with the issue of meditation, because In our lifestyle, we are programmed to go, 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 do, 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 be, be, be. Always busy, always thinking. And if you're not thinking, you're not doing something, you're not productive. And absolutely, overdrive will burn you out faster than anything else. And this is one of the things that isn't, I don't think, emphasized enough. The real necessary need to decompress, to check out, to allow yourself to rest. And meditation is absolutely the best way you can do that.
Right. Well, it was the Dalai Lama, I think in the early 2000s or maybe 90s, who came to the Western scientists and said, let's study meditation. Let's see what's going on in the brain when these monks who to become experts have to spend 10,000 hours meditating. Who in the West has that kind of time? I mean, it's just ridiculous with kids and activities and work, and it's just so challenging. But these tones really help shortcut the process. But what they first started finding with meditation is just what you said. If you can take time and quiet the mind, suddenly your stress goes down, your autoimmune system kicks in, you're healthier, you're happier, you're calmer. It's an absolute critical thing that is starting to come into our Western world, but it's still so challenging, and these tones really help, especially beginners. Now, I do say that we have a lot of experienced meditators who will try out our sounds, and when they listen, many of them will tell us that it takes them deeper than they've ever been before, or they get there faster than they've ever been before. But beginners especially, when you just think, how can I sit there even for 10 minutes and quiet my mind? Well, put on your headphones with some sound and just listen to the music. And before you know it, these types of sounds help bring the brain down into those calmer states associated with meditation, relaxation, and sleep. So normally we're in that beta state of awareness, and with an EEG, you can measure that electrical signal coming out of the brain, and it's measured in hertz. So around 12 to 30 hertz is a very active brain, that beta state, analysis, walking, talking. And then when you get a little lower than that, around 8 to 12 hertz, that's the alpha state associated with focus, with dream sleep, with relaxation. And then roughly 4 to 7 or 8 hertz is theta. That's what they've defined as a very deep meditative state, or where you're just in the zone, the flow, as they call it, where you're completely focused on a particular activity and nothing else is bothering you. Usually that's maybe running or jogging. For some, maybe surgeons, it's when they're operating in the OR. There's all, or painters when they're painting. And then delta, that's the sleep state, 0 to 4 hertz when we're in deep sleep or even a coma state. But around 4 hertz, that's that borderline between awake and asleep. And so a lot of these binaural beats that we develop kind of hover. They're mixed up a little bit, but they kind of hover around that border between delta and theta. And what we do is we feed you around a 4 hertz signal that equals that border between awake and asleep by feeding one signal to one ear, for example, 100 hertz, and maybe in the other ear you would hear 104 hertz. And it's the difference between those two signals, in this case 4 hertz, that somehow the brain translates to this lower state of awareness. And so when the body can become profoundly relaxed and really kind of go to sleep, but the mind can stay aware, that's called the hypnagogic state. And that's what these tones are so beautiful at helping people get into.
Okay, I wanted to just, I did the Heart Center Sacred Acoustics. There's a sample on your page, Heart Center 2, and there's a sample, and that's the one I tried out, and your voice is in this. And I have to say, your voice really, really works well with the music. When you listen to this, just this sample, it gives you an idea of what you might be able to expect. And I thought that was, for me, it was like a sell. It's like, this really does work. Now, when people go to your website, if you sign up like the email, then it's a 20-minute sample of some of your sacred acoustic audio?
Yes, we have a 20-minute version of what we call our OM frequencies, which are the beginning frequencies of many of our recordings, although we are starting to move away from that in our latest ones. But Heart Center, the one you mentioned, it starts mm-hmm. with those OM frequencies, and the sample is from more in the middle. And you mentioned the voice. Yes, a lot of them will have verbal guidance. And for beginners especially, we feel the voice really helps, especially when we're trying to get you to visualize something. We don't think of this as a passive listening experience, although it can be. Many people will just listen passively, wait to see what happens. But we really encourage people to use their intention, their mind, their thoughts. Your thoughts have so much power, and when you start to activate them in that hypnagogic state, some amazing things can happen. And in the Heart Center exercise, we're really just guiding people to bring their awareness to their heart and imagine their breath is moving in and out of their heart. That particular exercise was inspired for me by in part by the work of HeartMath Institute in California. And they talk mm-hmm. about this torus field that emanates from all of our hearts, this electromagnetic field, and it comes out of our hearts, out the top of the head, down all around the body. It surrounds your whole body. Think of it as maybe the arm's length width, but it the field actually fluctuates and changes shape and size based on your emotions. And so by focusing in the heart and breathing into this, I call it a bubble around your body, you can activate and become more aware of that electromagnetic field. So all of our exercises combine the tones with some sort of intention, in this case, the heart awareness. But we encourage people to travel with their awareness to different times, to different really understandings. When you can quiet the mind and start to really pay attention to that neutral observer within. So when you first start to try to quiet those thoughts, like I did, you think, oh my gosh, they need to go away before you're successful. What really I learned was so critical was just developing the part of you that notices the thoughts, because you can have multiple awarenesses at once. So while your thoughts are going on, there's another part of you that notices your thinking. That's the part that really starts to come out in this, any practice of meditation, but also while listening to these tones. What's paying attention behind your thoughts? And all of these exercises can help you get behind that mundane daily chatter into really understanding a bigger part of who you are, beyond the anxieties and the worries about life. You know, what is it that makes up the essence of who you are? Each of us is, there's a lot of debate right now. Do we have a soul or don't we have a soul? To me, there's no question. There's a soul. There's a part of us that continues. This was kind of an understanding I had as a young person. And now that I'm kind of connected with Dr. Alexander, who you mentioned earlier, you know, as a scientist, he is looking at this from kind of the other perspective, someone who didn't have this understanding as a scientist. And as it happens, science is also pointing to the reality of a soul that is eternal, that survives beyond bodily death. And the more we can get aware of that really pure awareness of who we are, the better off we can live our lives. And the more aware we can be about why we are here, what is our purpose, and really move beyond the daily anxieties and worries of the day.
Again, my guest is Karen Newell, co-founder of Sacred Acoustics and co-author with Dr. Evan Alexander of Living in a Mindful Universe. We'll talk more about how to get connect with you, because you have some events coming up with both of you doing a presentation. But I want to ask again, getting into this, what your companion or co-worker, co-presenter, co-creator with Sacred Acoustics, was he instrumental in any way, shape, or form in helping you collaborate to come up with these tones?
Are you speaking of Dr. Alexander or my partner in Sacred Acoustics?
Kevin Cossey?
Kevin Cossey, yes. Kevin Cossey, he's the co-founder with me of Sacred Acoustics. And he was absolutely critical. Sacred Acoustics would not exist without either one of us. We are absolutely a team. And what happened, how I came across Kevin, is I was exploring sound, going to workshops myself and, how to use sound to do different things. And at one of these workshops, I met Kevin Cossey. And yes, you mentioned earlier, he had had a near-death experience of his own, but he's a very living in the material world kind of guy. He's a born and bred Manhattanite, New Yorker. For all of you who may know what that means, he is a hardcore city guy. And yet he has this other side of him. So he's a mechanical and electrical engineer, and he runs an engineering business of his own and owns a couple bars and restaurants in town and really makes a great living. But yes, he did have a near-death experience as well that kind of put him in touch with those realms. It was a very brief one, but enough to allow him to touch those realms. And it also, harkened back to the days of his childhood when he remembered very clearly having regular out-of-body experiences where he would, like many children do and remember, they leave their bodies and travel while they're sleeping and then come back and everything's fine. He remembered being able to do this and was able to kind of reinvigorate those skills. And so he really lives in both worlds very extremely. But when I met him, he told me he wanted to make his own binaural beats. He had just started exploring the sound as a way to kind of get into these altered states of awareness. And so he's kind of new to it. I had amassed a huge library of recordings. And when he told me he wanted to make his own, I thought, well, I'm kind of bored with everything out there. I want more. So I said, well, gosh, whenever you do that, I'd love to listen to it. And that turned into a collaboration almost immediately. I was living in Baltimore at the time. He was in New York, of course. And I started feeding him all of these recordings that I had collected over time. And we started to analyze them. He would share a Skype screen with me, And we started to analyze together and figure out how all of this was done. And being an engineer, he was very used to taking things apart, putting them back together. And that's exactly what we did. We figured out how other producers had done this. We started to redo what they had done as an exercise, as a tool. And as we did this, we figured out ways to do it even better than others had done. And so we spent a good part of the year kind of making our own recordings, listening. We would synchronize via text and listen at the same time and then get on the phone and tell each other what just happened while we were listening. And soon we began to realize we could meet up with our awareness in these other realms. And eventually we did meet Dr. Eben Alexander. This was before he wrote his book, Proof of Heaven. And he was just starting to explore sound as well. And Kevin and I had been creating recordings for about a year at that point. And when Eben was up at New York meeting with publishers, Kevin met up with him at his hotel and hooked him up to our EEG device and had him listen to our first three-way listen, where they called me in Baltimore, or I think I was in Virginia at the time, and we had our first three-way, and that he loved it so much, Eben did, that the three of us began, we invited him to join us on our duo journeys, and we started doing three-way journeys. And eventually, when Eben's book came out, he was such a fan of our work, he encouraged us to make these recordings available to others, and that's when Kevin and I created Sacred Acoustics, and when I started to present with Eben out in the world to teach people how to use them.
Well, and I think that's crucial because, yeah, there are other programs out there. I've tried several, and there is a unique aspect to this that does pull you in my experience with, and this again, this is all personal, so each person is going to have their own response. But for me, I felt a comfort level almost instantaneously with, you know, within the first 5 or 10 seconds, which is really quick. And I've been doing this for a while, so it, maybe that makes a difference, but it was refreshing. And it's like, wow, that was amazing. And I wasn't expecting that, honestly. That was a surprise.
It's really important what you pointed out, that everyone responds differently. And some people do have that immediate response, like you're describing, and others, sometimes they think it just sounds like a machine and a little scary, and they're not used to sounds that aren't what you might hear on, you know, top 40 music on the radio, or maybe classical Beethoven, Bach, Mozart. It's not like that at all. And it is more of a drony type of sound. And really, the best way to find out how you'll respond is absolutely to go try it yourself. And that's exactly why we include that 20-minute download, because sometimes just a minute or so, all of our recordings have at least a one-minute sample, but sometimes that 1 minute isn't enough. And so we want to give people that full 20-minute experience. Now, when we would do this for fun, for our hobby, we would do it for about an hour and 10 minutes. And then we realized most people don't have that kind of time. And so we had to shorten them. But many of ours are about 40 minutes. And you'll find if you do resonate well with the tones, you do want it to last longer, because when you're in there for longer periods, you can go deeper and deeper and have even more amazing experiences with your inner consciousness. Experiences that run the gamut from exploring, your purpose, maybe reconnecting with the souls of departed loved ones, maybe having precognitive moments of the future, maybe just having an aha moment about a project or problem that you're having, maybe a visualization of connecting with someone that you're not getting along with right now. There's all kinds of very practical reasons to listen to these tones. Most people say that after they listen for a while, they start to feel calmer, they start to feel happier, they start to feel more centered. Some people say they sleep better. Some don't have any goals at all and just start listening and find, oh my gosh, I can have out-of-body experience. I mean, it's just everyone is unique. And so it's very important to try for yourself.
I wanted to ask, we're going to take a break here, but I want to ask more about your background, because when you're talking about growing up in Oregon, it's beautiful out there. I remember being out on Cannon Beach, and the area is just so spectacular with the ocean and the backdrop there, that I want to know if your feelings are different now that you've had a chance to evolve and investigate and explore with nature. If, you know, going back there, you have more of an expanded awareness. Does that make sense? Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, but you want me to wait till after the break to address that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you got it.
I don't want to stop you when you get on a roll.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but basically that part of it, and the reason I ask is because I'm a different person than I was 10 years, 15, 20 years ago. And a lot of this has to do with different types of meditation techniques, different types of experiences, work that you finally go back and say, wow, I didn't see this the first time. How does this work? And when Karen was mentioning all of the things that she explored and went through in her own search for a closer connection or a little bit more than what she was told was reality, then that changes as you develop these new techniques, and then you have access to higher realms and more expanded views. And I think that's also part of the beauty of these kinds of techniques. So anyway, we're going to come back. In the meantime, if you'd like to check out some of the sound and some of the things that we're talking about, Sacred Acoustics is the website, but you can also check out the book, co-author Dr. Evan Alexander. Hopefully you might have heard about him, at Living in a Mindful Universe. Okay, so that's what you're going to be looking into. We'll come back with more about how Karen came to where she is and the things she explored along the way. Conscious Living, Empower Radio.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for taking
me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If a disaster struck right now, what would you and your family do first? Would your kids know what to do? How would you get in touch with them if you're separated and your cell phone isn't working? Don't wait until a disaster strikes to figure it out. It's your responsibility to make a plan for you and your family ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Packers. Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown. Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. My guest, Karen Newell, who is on her website here. I'm looking at Larry King interviews Karen Newell. I just had to do the name dropping. How was that, by the way?
Oh, that was so fun. Larry is the sweetest guy. He's also very small. He's much smaller than he appears on television, but he's just a great guy. He's funny because he's getting up in years, and he was very much telling us how he was really worried about what was going to happen when he died. And so we were there to kind of counsel and comfort him at the same time as be interviewed. So it was fun, very fun.
And that's one of the things you don't expect to get into, especially when you're looking at a guy who's an icon. And the last thing you think you would have to do is give him some, you know, some props. It's okay. Don't worry. It's a piece of cake, which Evan might be able to tell him.
Yeah.
Then again, he might come back. You never know. The thing with all of your stuff that you explored, was there anything, because you talked about, you know, the plants, connecting with the plants, connecting with the animals, connecting, doing as all the research of exploring and expanding, was there anything that drew you more than anything else once you were able to meditate and connect the way that you're doing now?
Well, yes, I do want to touch on what you asked me before the break about, you know, when you, wherever you grow up as a child, you kind of end up taking it for granted, I think, because it's just all you know. And I did live in a bunch of places up until about age 9 or 10, but Oregon was really my home. And that beautiful nature, I did take that for granted, and I knew it was beautiful. But when I left, I didn't realize how hard it was to find amazing waterfalls, for example. They're just not everywhere, and Oregon is chock full of amazing waterfalls. And what I learned, though, in all of the exploring through all those classes that I took, you know, when I said that out in nature, I thought, where's God? God's not out here. And I kind of rejected all that religious dogma. Well, now what I realized from taking all those classes, I was touching God. I was communing with God through nature, exactly what you just said, that the kind of plant energy, the energy out in nature. As I became older, and I used to be nervous saying that word God and Jesus and anything religious because I had rejected that dogma. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, I can talk about God as Mother Nature. I can talk about God as something that runs through all of us, that keeps us all connected as one, you know, one collective force. Without the dogma, it's much easier to talk about God. And so that was a huge realization that I had, that I used to say I didn't believe in God, but what I didn't believe in was the dogma. Of course I believe in a God that we can all touch and commune with and connect with. Now, the other thing that besides the sound that really hit me hard was this heart energy. And I learned about heart math first, I believe, in a book I was reading by Joseph Chilton Pierce called The Biology of Transcendence. And he talks about heart math's work in there. And he talks about how that electromagnetic field and how each of us can kind of activate it and really feel that heart energy by thinking of something that we feel gratitude for, not something that we think gratitude for, like, oh, I really appreciate having trees around my house. No, how do I feel about having trees around my house? And at first, this was very hard for me. I didn't know how to generate a feeling in my heart. And I thought this was a huge key. Because the other thing you learn that kind of runs through all the religious dogma and even secular dogma is that love is the most important thing. Well, how do we know about love except through our hearts? And knowing in your mind about love is much different than feeling that love. And most of us, I'll be very sweeping generalization here, have traumas that happen when we first start exploring with love, whether you're abused or even just neglected by a parent, a sibling, a peer. Later in life, it's, you know, relationships. When you get a little older, most of us have been hurt in some fashion through some type of loving relationship. And what happens is most of us don't really learn how to process our emotions properly. Our society is not really interested in emotions. In fact, when you're young, a lot of families grow up and crying is not really allowed. It's kind of frowned upon, especially if you're a boy. And so it's no wonder that our society doesn't really know how to process emotions. What we do is we stuff them inside and we store them. And so when I first started trying to activate my heart energy, it was very difficult. I would hear people talk about, oh, yes, move your awareness to your heart like I do now. And I didn't really know what that meant. And so I would just kind of pretend I was doing it. But learning how to feel something you're grateful for is really a wonderful starting point. And I thought and thought and thought about lots of things until that feeling was generated. And for me, it was puppies. Because when I was a 6-year-old child, my mother took in a stray dog. And that dog, within a short amount of time, proceeded to have puppies under my bed. And this was so magical. And some people just think dogs are dirty and annoying and they should be outside. To me, this was a magic moment of life forming right under my bed and just cute little puppies. And I always loved dogs and puppies. And so thinking of puppies, feeling that energy of the puppies as a child, I was able to get a little flicker of that feeling in my heart. And the more that I could focus on it, the more, and really you don't have to make time for this in your day. I would do this just lying in bed when I was falling asleep. That's, everyone does that. Why not just sit and think about your heart? Or when you're stuck in traffic or standing in line at a bank or something, there's always time to remove yourself from those racing worries and focus on your heart and this, what's going on right now. And so the more that I did this, the more I realized I did have amazing heart energy. And I could, with my awareness over time, start to expand it. But when I first started putting energy on my heart, normally, at first, I would just end up crying. I would touch some trauma. And the more I did this, I realized if I would go into one of these sound meditations and start to feel emotional, I knew that would be a big turning point because I would end up releasing all of this emotion. And the more of that that you can release, let yourself cry, let yourself feel those old traumas. You don't have to think about them. Just let yourself feel them. And of course, in some situations, we're going to have someone who had a very, very damaging trauma, like sexual abuse or something like that. And in a case like that, you may want to work with a professional therapist, but most people won't have to go to that step. And you can process your own emotions. The more you start to release, these tones seem to have a way of activating what's already in our system. So the sound works to bring our attention to things that we put in our bodies or energetic bodies, whatever you want to call it. And we put it there and it's got to come out. And so releasing it gives us this chance. Now, this comes up when people listen to the sound. Sometimes they'll say they feel little twitches or little pains or little vibrations or buzzing, any kind of movement sound or activation feeling like that, any kind of words that sound like movement. That's your awareness noticing an energetic, we'll say, blockage in your system. All you do is allow yourself to kind of let it clear and it goes away, and later on, you might analyze what it all might have meant. But then it gets replaced with other types of energy. The more you can release those old traumas. And eventually, over time, when I would practice this neutral observer, remember earlier I said, the observer is the part of you that notices what's going on. And so when I would, as I say, enter a sound meditation, start to feel myself be emotional, my observer would kick in, watch myself being emotional, and just kind of observe as exactly the observer is doing, but most of us aren't aware of it. Now, how this can help you in daily life is eventually I got to the point where I would be in an emotionally charged conversation with someone, and my neutral observer would be right there in the back of my mind going, oh, I see what's going on. If you said blah, 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 this is what the person wants to hear. This could potentially dissipate the whole, you know, situation. And I would follow my observer's advice in the moment and voila, the conflict would be resolved right then and there. So the more we can really practice kind of having that awareness separate from our reactive self, that's the value of meditation that I found is just beyond words trying to tell people why it's so important. And, you know, people who say, oh, I don't have time, I can't do it. I will tell every single one of those people, you need to find a way that works for you. And the sound is one thing to try. And if that doesn't work, you try another. There are so many meditation techniques out there. The heart rhythm meditation is certainly one of them. We have another product actually called Heart Presence that kind of takes off on the heart center one we were talking about earlier, but it has you breathe in and out of your heart in different directions, just like I learned in Sufi heart rhythm meditation. And so I've taken different practices that I've learned and kind of incorporated them into the different sounds in order to bring different types of experiences, depending on which one you're listening to.
One of the things I find that is very helpful, and I notice that you recommend it, is keeping a journal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because it's kind of like when you dream. When you have dreams, very often you remember them quite clearly right when you wake up, and then before you know it, they kind of dissipate. And the same thing can happen when you're in this kind of hypnagogic state, and bringing it back, what happens and how it feels, is often very challenging. It can be challenging just as in near-death experiences. People who have near-death experiences have trouble finding the words to describe what happened. The same thing can happen when you're in these very deep sound journeys. So yes, any little snippets you can write down. It often can be very helpful to write down intentions before going in. It can be helpful to write down any worries, concerns, whatever's on your mind right before you have, set aside time for one of these listening sessions. And then afterwards, write it down. Any questions you have, over time, you'll find that very often the answer comes before the question. So sometimes you'll get some strange message that doesn't make any sense. And then maybe the next hour, the next day, the next week, something will happen and you'll be like, oh my God, that happened in my meditation experience. Or here's that thing that now suddenly makes sense. And so keeping that journal, you can go back to those details. I know when I was keeping a dream journal, I do that off and on. But that's another really good thing to do. Write down your dreams when you first wake up in the morning, or if you wake up in the middle of the night. I would often train myself to just jot down a few words. And once I had a dream about my stepfather, we actually write about this in Living in a Mindful Universe. He had died about a year earlier, and I had this amazing dream, and I wrote it down. And it's still in my journal. And years later, I can go back and say, yes, that really happened. It was that particular dream was useful for me because my stepfather had actually taken his own life about a year earlier. And I was very concerned about him in the afterlife. Being someone who understood our souls continued, I wasn't sure that someone who had committed suicide, what might take place for them. And so when I had the dream about him, it was a rather unusual dream with kind of these different sort of vibrational sensations and things, and something happened in the dream. I think I have time to share with you. I actually, I had this dream, I saw my stepfather and it was this big long dream and I wrote it all down, but the key part that made me realize I really was talking to my stepfather is when he said to me, he was concerned about my mother, that she had been seeing a new man who had been to her home three times, and he was very concerned about this relationship. And he just said he really wanted, me to check in with her on that. And I did. I called her up. She lived in Arizona, and I was in Maryland at the time. And so we didn't see each other on a regular basis. We didn't really speak to each other on an ongoing regular basis, and certainly not about our daily lives, just when something important would happen. And so I called her and I said, I had this dream about Randy. I told her about the dream and he told me about this man who had been to the house three times and he's very concerned about it. So I thought I should ask you if there's anything going on. And she said to me, oh, well, isn't that interesting? Because she had just been in the previous month or so seen a man and gone out to dinner with him three times. He had come to her home to pick her up three times, which is kind of unusual these days. More likely, people would meet somewhere, but he had come to her home. They had been friends in high school, and each of them had recently lost their spouse. And so he was actually kind of, figured out shopping for a new spouse, and she wasn't ready to do that and had just kind of realize, oh, I need to end this. I don't want to lead him on. And she had just done that right before I called her with this dream. And both of us were just amazed because those kinds of facts, how would he have known? How would I have brought that message to her without even knowing this was going on in her life? And this was validation. When I would take all of these classes and things, I was looking for personal validation. We all need that personal validation. We can't, nobody listening can trust what I'm saying until you've had the experience yourself. And so we teach people how to cultivate these kinds of experiences, including connecting with the souls of departed loved ones. I would have thought that it was just wishful thinking that I had connected with him and had the other things that he said to me that couldn't really be proven or validated. But the thing with my mother was pure validation for me that I was actually connecting with the soul of my stepfather. And that kind of thing helps people in grief so unbelievably. You know, when you people write to us all the time about missing the souls of their wives, their husbands, their children. And it's just very often in these tragic situations. And we had someone come to one of our workshops at Omega Institute in New York, upstate New York, and they came all the way from Peru, and they had lost an adult son in a motorcycle accident. She was able to connect with him during that workshop and got enough validating information that she knew it was real. She had all kinds of healings with him where she had felt guilty about the way she had mothered him and different things that had happened throughout their lives. And they were able to resolve all of those things. It's absolutely amazing. People need to realize our relationships continue. They do not stop. If love is the most important thing, which we hear over and over again, and we're all connected through love, that binding force of love is the most powerful thing. It does not end when our loved ones die. We may not see them in the physical, but their souls continue, and we will reconnect with them when we die ourselves. And we can connect with them now if we like. I don't want to make it sound really simple and easy. It can be simple and easy, but if you're not practiced at getting into these states of awareness, it just means you need a little practice. And with time, all of us can do this. I am 100% convinced that all of us can do this with the right motivation.
I do want to wrap up here with the Living in a Mindful Universe. You guys have a sample. It's a link to the 33-day journey into the heart of consciousness, like a little intro to that. And so that I also wanted to get into. And there's a retreat for people who would like to connect with you. September 2018, this is the Journey into the Heart of Consciousness. You guys have a lot of events. And so, but those were the two that I picked out in correlation with the book, Living in a Mindful Universe. So you want to, what happens with the 33-day course?
Well, the 33-day course is on ebenalexander.com. And you go to that site and enter your email where you sign up. And once you do that, you receive an email once each day for 33 days. And it's a companion to the book, Living in a Mindful Universe. Each day you get kind of a one-word topic where we share just kind of a brief nugget of information about that one topic. We cover topics like God, reincarnation, sound, all of these things we've been talking about, heart, past life memories, all of this. And each of the emails gives you a link to that day's lesson and a practice, a practical exercise, because this isn't about just reading about concepts. It's about applying them and integrating them into your lives. There's a forum on each day where people are leaving comments from all over the world about their experiences and sharings with each other. And we also include several samples of Sacred Acoustics recordings for people to try out.
I think the cool thing is that you have the benefit of working with Dr. Alexander after his incredible near-death experience and having the mind shift that he had, being a neurosurgeon and being hooked up to all the machines and saying, oh my gosh, there is something to this and I have proof. And then you're able to collaborate with events and presentations and that kind of thing. Coming at it from your perspective, the two of you really complement each other well.
Well, you know, our book is billed as a kind of marriage, a bringing together of science and spirituality. And it does it in a way that our book does it in a way that I've not seen in another book, with so much hardcore science, yet still going so far spiritually. And so many scientific minds think they can't go spiritual. And the spiritual-minded people just don't understand the science well enough to explain it the way he does. And so, yes, when we present, that's what we bring to the table. He is all of this kind of living your life as if every thought you have and every behavior you enact is affecting your unfolding reality is still new to him. And yet that's how I've been living my life really since I was born. And so we bring all of that together from two very different worlds, but we bring it to that center point where everyone gets along. And that's where I think people find the value of our workshops. And yes, we will get very busy again in the fall of 2018. Starting in August, we'll be in Montreal and then upstate New York and then Northern California, Seattle. There, we'll just be all over the place in the fall. So yes, keep an eye on our calendars on our respective websites, evanalexander.com and also sacredacoustics.com.
Well, I really do like the blog. I think you include a lot of helpful information. I'll just go conversations and connections, talking about recent interviews, recordings, which ones will induce an OBE. The lunar cycles, this is with the sacred acoustic sound, dealing with lunar cycles and what that might mean. This is like a testimonial from a woman who went to one of your events, A Doorway to the Infinite, how she experienced the sound at a workshop. You have a lot of, I think, really deep in terms of writing a blog, deep references to the stuff that you're doing and links for people to follow up on. And it gives them a good starting point if they're already into meditation, not a problem. If they're brand new, you cover all the bases.
Well, it's funny you brought up the blog. I just started the blog. I haven't even announced it to my own list yet. And I plan to keep adding more and more to it because we do get a lot of questions from people over and over again. And so eventually all of those questions will end up in the blog. So as well as each of our products, the kind of the origin story of how and why they were developed, we'll be building on that throughout the coming year. So yeah, we invite everyone to come check it out.
Okay. Well, see, there you go. I'm biased. I love blogs. I love the way that it's an intimate connection with the creator of whatever this happens to be. With you and Eben, it's a connection there that if I have questions, I can go and maybe do a little more research and then send you an email or something or listen to one of the tapes or something you've done on YouTube. But it's nice just to go there and see, well, how do you explain this? And then you put on, not only that, when you're putting testimonials and people who've shared their stories, it's that unique experience that everybody gets to share. Well, this is how it worked for me. And I think that is incredibly valuable.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying that content. I'm certainly enjoying putting it together, and there's a wealth more to come.
Okay, there you go. So in the meantime, so for people who would like to get in touch with you and find out more about the sacred acoustics, where do you suggest they start after they get the 20-minute demo?
Well, after that, if you want to do more, our contact form on sacredacoustics.com, just write your questions in there. And there's also another section on the website that we call our training series. And it's a bunch of absolutely free YouTube videos where I explain in words, you know, right there on the video, how to get started. What are the common concerns? What kind of headphones should I use? How often should I listen? All of those questions can be answered. And if they aren't answered in those videos, then absolutely go to that contact form and ask. And I will do my best to answer. Me and my support staff will do our best to answer any of your questions.
That's a good thing to have a support staff, because as busy as you are,
you need
some help.
My support staff currently is my daughter, and she's my adult daughter who just gave birth in December to my first grandson. And so it works out so well. She's able to help the customers and help people with quick questions with their orders and things that I don't have to worry about. And she's able to do it all on a flexible schedule, taking care of my beautiful grandson. It's just so wonderful to keep it in the family.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, and yeah, she knows when you're busy and when not to bother you.
Yes. And what's so beautiful is during her pregnancy, she had insomnia. And so she would answer people's questions like other insomniac trying to download our sleep file at 3 a.m. couldn't get it. And there at 3:03, she was helping them with their download. So yeah. Beautiful thing.
Karen, thank you. Thank you so much, and keep doing what you're doing. Sacred Acoustics, Karen Newell. Thank you for listening. Conscious Living, Empower Radio. See ya.